This past Friday, my mother turned 85 years old, and Cindy and Eddie joined me in celebrating with her in Arkansas. And as we're at the celebration, it dawned on me just how quick life passes. And it caused me to reflect on the fact that she's the only person who's known me every day of my life. And it reminded me of how important it is that we look at our lives from a lens that allows us to be alert to the things that God wants to show us. And so this morning early, I noticed that several other people were born on the same day as my mother. And so one of those is a young man who lives in Romania, and he was the meanest gang leader in the city in which we worked. And he was responsible for heading up the group that always complained about everything at the factory they worked at. He was the one who no one messed with because he was meaner than anybody else. Well, about 4 years ago, he gave his heart to Christ. And this mean man became a gracious follower of Jesus. But I noticed his birthday was on the same day as my mother. And so I sent him a note and I said, "Alex, I can't believe that I didn't realize this, but your birthday is on the same day as my mom. And so I wanted to say happy birthday to you." And he wrote me back and we exchanged dialogue. But then I wrote him a note back and I said, "I wish you'd pray for church today, because today we're asking the Lord to do again what only He can do, to speak to hearts, change lives, transform anybody who's looking for an answer." And if you're here today looking for an answer, my prayer that you'll be alert enough to hear what it is that God has for you. Well, he wrote me back, and he wrote me back the sweetest words. He said, "I will not only pray, I will pray with fire that God will speak." Well, you know, when I read that, I thought to myself, just a few years ago, he had no idea even who Jesus was. And now, the privilege of being able to see him transformed. And what you discover is that what the Bible speaks to is something that sometimes we miss. And it has to do with being alert to the opportunities that God has for us. Last night I was reading a note from a pastor friend who had this week got a call from a member of his church. And the member said that, "I need you, if you would, to come and visit and take a moment to visit a man who, he was a veteran of the Vietnam War. He was a tough Marine. He was very disconnected from anything that connected to God. But for some reason, he wants to talk to somebody about his soul." Well, this pastor, being alert to the opportunity, went to his room at the hospital. His body riddled with cancer, but his mind still alert. He began to ask him questions. He began to ask him, "Is there a way to find peace? Is there a way to find hope? Is there a way to find meaning?" Well, last night, that Marine, who had given his heart to Christ this week, passed on into glory. And as I was reading that note, I thought about how important it is that we remain sensitive and that we are attentive to what it is that God alerts us to. And here's what is the danger. Oftentimes in life, you can know truth without applying it. You can recognize what you're supposed to do, but choose not to do it. And oftentimes, I think about that as someone who falls asleep at the wheel of life. They're driving, and all of a sudden, they begin to put their car in cruise control, and they miss some of the things that God intended. And yet the reality is you can't redeem those moments that are behind you. And so all of a sudden, you find yourself asleep at the wheel. Or maybe you begin to take things for granted. Maybe you look at life thinking, "I'll always be healthy. I'll always be able to do what it is that I want to do in life." And the truth of the matter is, none of us know how long we'll live. But what we can know is that God intends for us to be alert, to be sensitive to what it is He's trying to say to us. And so today, I want to ask you to think about something over the span of the next few minutes. I want you to think about what it would be like if you took Jesus' words literally today, where Jesus begins to speak to something that is obviously a part of the process of what he's trying to accomplish in the lives of the disciples. Because here's what he's trying to do. He is trying to teach his disciples, if you follow me, you will be alert and you will be ready to experience what it is that God intends for you. And today we look at red alerts for disciples. Because who is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who's willing to learn. And so what you discover is, if someone's willing to learn, then they have to be very alert to the opportunities that are there. I had one of those happen this week, as a matter of fact. I got a call from Delta Airlines, and they said, It was a voicemail on my phone. I didn't know who it was, so I just pushed it to voicemail. And it said on the voicemail, it said, Mr. Spicer, if you'd be willing to change your flight that you got scheduled for December, we'll give you $200. Well, I thought to myself, $200? That's not enough to change the flight because I've got to change everything else about my schedule. So I set that call aside, didn't return it. Then on Friday, my mom's birthday, I was sitting at the table for lunch with her, and the phone rang, and it was the same number, so I knew it was Delta again, so I thought, I'm just going to see what they say this time. Picked that phone up. They said, Mr. Spicer, would you be willing to change your flight in December? He said, I'm willing to give you $600 to change your flight. I said, yes, sir, book me immediately, because $600 for a $150 flight is a good deal. But it remains being alert, doesn't it? I mean, it reminds us to be alert, and it causes us to look and think, you know, some opportunities we grab hold of and we miss the best because we act too quickly, or we're not alert enough to what it is God has for us. And so today, what I want to do is I want to look at two passages of Scripture, and I want you to remain very sensitized. And here's what I want you to think about. You've just been called to the doctor's office. And the doctor has called your office, and the nurse has said, please come in today because I have something very important to say to you. And you say on the phone, well, can you tell me a little bit about what the problem is? And the nurse says, oh, no, we're saving that for the doctor. Well, today, we look at what Dr. Jesus says, because he addresses this idea of being alert in two specific passages. So open your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 12. And today we're going to look at Luke chapter 12 and Luke chapter 21, all right? And in Luke chapter 12, you'll notice we're going to read several verses, but as you look at it, we're going to begin by looking at verse 35. So as you're turning there, and remember now, this is Jesus speaking, and what Jesus is doing is he is opening their minds to their alertness that they might understand what it is he wants to get across to them. So notice how he says it. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. In other words, make sure you can see where it is you're going and make sure you are looking in the right way, ready to be able to experience what it is that God intends. And so as you look at this passage, you'll discover that Jesus begins to dig into this idea of you and I being ready for whatever it is that he has for our life. Look at it with me if you would. Beginning in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Be dressed in readiness, keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find, watch this, on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. And whether he comes in the second watch or even the third watch and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. And notice what he says here. Listen to Jesus. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Now, when you read this, you immediately realize that there's one powerful word that stands out in this text, and it's in verse 37, where he says that you are on the alert. In other words, you are sensitized to what it is that you need to do. Now, I'll never forget this. Many years ago, in a former church, we were opening up a facility, and we had about 250 volunteers all there to help gather, to get everything together, to make it work. And I had never thought about this being an issue, but I thought if I pull the fire alarm, then everybody will know to come to the same place. I didn't realize that fire trucks and ambulances and other things would come as well. And so I pulled the fire alarm in this building, and all these people, everyone comes running because they realize they have to assemble. And they're all saying, where's the fire? There's not a fire. I just want you to come together so we can talk to you about what we're going to do in this building. Well, then the fire trucks came and the other people, and they all come rushing in. They've all got their gear on, and of course they see no smoke. And you know, it's interesting because what they said was, who pulled the alarm? You know what 250 people did? They all pointed at me. They all said, he did it. And as I thought about that experience, you know, sometimes what happens to us is we don't remain alert, or we have false alarms, things that go off inside of us. And it may be you're here, and the alert that hits you is not an answer, it's anxiety. The alert that hits you is a pressure, not a peace. The alert that hits you is some kind of situation that you look at and say, this seems unresolvable. I'm not sure how to get beyond it. And what I want you to discover today is that God's intent for our life is for us to be ready and for us to be alert. And what you discover very quickly is if you go to sleep at the wheel of your life, cruise control doesn't work well because there are lots of bumps and lots of curves that come our way. And so today we find ourselves in Luke chapter 21 is our second text today. And as we're looking at it, now remember, from chapter 12 to chapter 21, Jesus is getting them prepared for what ultimately will happen. Ultimately, life will change for all of them because he will have to die. And when you get to the 21st chapter, if you were looking at it from a prophetic perspective, we could spend about 3 or 4 weeks at least just looking into this 21st chapter, because it is here that Jesus ratchets up their awareness of what it is that they need to do. And look, if you would, in the 21st chapter, for just a moment, at verse 36. And notice what he said. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, when you read this, you immediately realize something, that here he is, he comes back to the same thematic focus, and that is, be on the alert, be cautious, be ready, be sensitized to what it is that God has for you. Our team that went to Argentina found themselves with a plane being canceled on the way back home. And if they were not careful, they could have lost the actual sensitivity to what God had just done through them. And that was that tons of people were saved. Many people's lives were changed and transformed. Obviously, they got on home and they're back in church today. In fact, some of them only had about 3 hours sleep. And I told them if they fall asleep during the sermon, that I'll call them by name. So those of you who went to Argentina, be awake because I'm watching you. Be on the alert. But what happens, sometimes we have something happen in our life and we go, wow, how do I move past this? How do I find the answer? And what Jesus does in his 21st chapter is he begins to bring together for them an awareness that the world that we sometimes want is not the world we're going to get. Because just as soon as something settles down in Syria, something else will happen in somewhere else in the world. Because what Jesus makes clear is there's a whole lot going on before he comes back. But you remember, he says, be alert. Be alert. So let's look, if we could, and let's read together, beginning in verse 25, because it's here that Jesus begins to make sure they know something, that just as much as he has come once, he will come again. And what you and I need to see is just because people blur the lines at the point of believing or wondering if he will return, Jesus speaks to it himself. Look at it with me, beginning in verse 25. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Stop there in just a second. Think about that for a moment. All of a sudden, he says, straighten up. Look up. Watch, because something is drawing near. What I want you to see today, as we think about what it means to follow Jesus, is it's so important for you and I to maintain an awareness of what it is that's going on around us so that we can respond to the issues of life and experience what God intended. Look on with me as we look on. Verse 29. Then he told them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, as soon as they put forth leaves, you see it, and you know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And watch what he does here again. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of man. When you read this, you immediately realize something. You begin to ask yourself a question. How alert are you to the challenges that come your way? How alert are you to the opportunities of life that God has for you? These challenges and these opportunities that God puts before us, to be alert, to be aware, to recognize that we can experience what God intended. We can yield to his presence in our life. And we begin to ask him, Lord, I want you to take me where only you can take me. And you see what happens if you're not careful, if you lose your alertness and you lose your sensitivity and you lose your recognition, then all of a sudden, what it is that he intended to do in you and through you and for you all gets missed. And then you look back and you go, wow, it could have been, it should have been, it would have been, but it wasn't, because your alertness disappeared. All of a sudden, your sensitivity seemed to wane. And so today, as you think about where you are in your own journey, a few weeks ago, I shared with you a principle. And if you recall, it has to do with the difference between a solution and an answer. And I want to come back to it because it fits into what it is we're talking about today. Some people settle for solutions rather than an answer. And what I want you to discover is sometimes we solve something. For example, we'll make someone feel better about something by saying, you know what, let's solve it this way. I've known people, for example, who throw money at something, say, that'll fix it. I've known people who had very big rugs in their home. They'd sweep everything under it. And what they would say, as long as we're stepping on it, it can't step on us. And the problem is, you begin to trip over it. And all of a sudden, you begin to experience life the way your problems define it, instead of the solution that God has. And when you think about that, when you settle for a solution, it only compounds the problem. And today I want you to think about your biggest problem. You may be sitting there thinking, well, I can identify it very quickly. My biggest problem is. And what you discover is, if someone gives you a solution to it, then you operate only inside of the parameters of that solution. In other words, if someone says to you, if you do this, this, and this one, you'll be okay. But what if God intends to do something in you that far exceeds the solution someone else is giving you? What if God intends to look inside of your heart and speak to you in such a vivid way that it changes who you are? My mother came to Christ when she was 58 years old. So she lived a long time without Jesus being the center of her life. And when I think about the amazing transformation, yesterday morning I was sitting at the table visiting with some nieces and nephews, and my mom came in and she put her hand on my shoulder, and I held her hand, and I began to reflect back to the reality of what God had done. You see, when my mother came to Christ, our lives changed. Our lives were changed and transformed because all of a sudden, Jesus was the center of it. And last Sunday, my mother was in Sunday school in her class. And as I mentioned to you earlier, she turned 85. She'd never been asked to pray in public in all these years. Well, she was sitting in Sunday school class, and the teacher said to her, Virginia, would you pray? Now, I want you to imagine you're 85. You've never been asked to do that before. And all of a sudden, you're supposed to pray. And she began to tell us what she prayed. You know what? She didn't forget a single word of that prayer. You want to know why? She's scared to death. She was scared to death because she had never been asked to do that. But here's what I want you to see. You know why she remembered it? Because it went beyond her lips to her heart. And what I want you to see today is what Jesus deals with here is not what we give lip service to. It's what our heart really owns. And what he wants to say to each one of us is that we need to be wise at the point of evaluating the opportunities God puts before us, and wise at the point of addressing the challenges. And watch this carefully. Between our challenges and our opportunities rests the essence of life. Sometimes we have things come at us that are great challenges. We don't know which way to turn. On the other side, we have great opportunities come to us. And those opportunities are moments where we're able to say, you know, yes, I can experience this. I want to go this way. And today I want to challenge you to think about your own life. What would happen if you, as a young man or young lady sitting in this worship service, are you, as someone who's seasoned enough in life to know what the answer is, would all of a sudden begin to ask yourself that penetrating question, how do I respond to the opportunity that God gives me? And how do I respond to the challenges that God gives me? You see, the reality is, how does a vessel become worthy? A vessel becomes worthy when it is broken. And when it is broken by the situation and circumstances of life. But it pushes your heart back to the reality of what God can do. And listen carefully. It may very well be that you sit in this service on this particular day and your heart is broken. You have lost something that you used to cherish. You have found yourself in a place you never dreamed you would be. Your pain is intolerable. It's overwhelming. But all of a sudden, you hear Jesus saying, be on the alert. Draw near. Don't let anything get in the way of it. And then all of a sudden, something begins to happen inside of you. What was turmoil that's become centered in truth becomes peace. And you begin to understand how you're supposed to live. And today I want to challenge you to think about your own life. Because oftentimes what we do is we allow our circumstances to define us instead of our convictions. We allow what it is going on around us to define who we are. And what Jesus does here is he makes it clear. There will be things going on around you you will not understand. But you must be dressed in readiness. You must keep your lamp lit. And today, as you think about your own personal journey, you have to ask yourself, did Jesus have a way of speaking into the hearts of those he loved the most? And in my opinion, he did. Because when you read this text, you realize that he is doing something to get them alert to what it is that they can do with their life. And today, as I think about that in our own journey, I think about those I know in the room who maybe they've had to cross that valley of saying goodbye, or they anticipate saying goodbye to someone they love. And as you stand at that crossroads, you will either stand with a conviction that to be absent is to be present, or you'll find yourself in turmoil beyond what you could express. And so all of a sudden, Jesus begins to address this. And what I want to show you today is I want to take this and break it down in simple terms, but what I want you to hear me saying to you over and over again as you're in worship on this particular day is a disciple who is alert is a disciple who will have direction. And a disciple who has direction will discover how to be devoted to God. And when a disciple is devoted to God, God begins to do something in them that baffles the minds of the average person. And what I want to say to you today is you need direction. You need devotion. You need discipline. And you need to be able to look at life and go, you know what? I want to experience everything that God intends. So what were the secrets? The secrets that Jesus used were interesting because what he does is he uses in chapter 12 how the slaves respond. And the first secret that he identifies is responsibility. Sensitivity. Because being willing to look and open up your heart to be sensitive. You ever been around somebody who was just plain cold? They'd lost their sensitivity. At one time, they were gracious and sweet and kind, but life had thrown things at them, and they lost their sweetness. They'd lived through circumstances they didn't understand, and all of a sudden, they were cold and they were hard. And when you encountered them, you always were thinking, I just wish something would sensitize them so that they would all of a sudden be sweet again, be kind again. In fact, if I were to give you a card today and say, list the five sweetest people you know, for some of you, it'd be hard to write them down. Because oftentimes, what life does, it makes people lose their sweetness. And today I want to ask you, what would happen if all of a sudden the Spirit of God visited you and said, I want you to be sensitive, to be who you're supposed to be. I want you to find the sweetness that causes you to be able to experience what God intends for your life. And listen carefully. When you are sweet, you are sensitive. And when I talk about sweetness, I'm talking about someone who understands what the biblical concept of kindness is all about. But he didn't just talk about sensitivity, because what is he doing? He's alerting them to what it is God intends to do, but he's also calling them to evaluate their own responsibility at the point of their journey of faith. In other words, he's making sure they realize things are going to change. Life is going to change. And you've got to be responsible. You've got to be willing to look at where you're at and go, you know what? I don't want this to get in my way. I want to be responsible at the point of taking hold of this and going, you know what? I'm going to go where God intends me to go. So I want you to think about today. What would happen if you realized exactly what God wants to do with you and you took responsibility for it? I'll tell you what would happen. Your life would change. Because here's what happens to us. Oftentimes, we get in habits that don't lead us to holiness, but they do lead us to a false sense of contentment. In other words, everything's going fine. Everything's rocking along good. I don't have any problems right now. And listen carefully. When we take responsibility for our lives, we all of a sudden become people who recognize that holiness is not an option for somebody sitting on the sideline of life. Holiness is that absolute pursuit of being able to experience what God intends. And that's why the Bible says, be holy, for he is holy. And so think about it for a second. Here's Jesus. He's opening their hearts up. First of all, they got to be sensitive. Then they have to be responsible. But then it's interesting because he brings one other secret to the table. And that is, they have to take action. They have to take action. I was visiting with someone the other day, and they were talking about that in their home, that everybody loved each other, but no one ever told anyone they did. And they were talking about it, and what they said was that we just know we do. And aren't you glad that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world? I mean, wouldn't it be sad if that was absent from text? And here's what I want to show you. When it comes to action, when it comes to the things that matter the most, for example, you fill out prayer requests, many of you on any given Sunday. You identify a need, a child from a broken experience, a pain that someone's going through, a heartache of a financial difficulty, looking for a next job. And what we do with those prayer requests is I take those prayer requests and I put into action what I believe God intends to do. I ask him, Lord, I pray for this need. I pray for this person. I pray for this young lady who wants an answer from God. I pray for this young man who had the wisdom to at least put down the prayer request to identify it. And what I'm trying to say to you is here's what Jesus does. Jesus does not give theory. He gives truth. And what happens in church is not about having a theory or philosophy of life. It is about living the truth and practically applying scripture so that you become who he intended for you to be. And so here you find yourself in Luke chapter 21. And as you find yourself there, you realize something. That Jesus teaches these same secrets in principle. And how does he do it? Notice what he does. Which, by the way, why did Jesus tell so many stories? Because he knew they wouldn't forget them. And he knew they needed to use them later on. And what I want you to see today is that Jesus uses the fig tree. He begins to tell this parable about the fig tree because he realized that they would get it, that they would grasp what it was he was saying, because soon he would die. And all the things that he was talking about that would come in the future, he wanted them to be aware of so that they could live in the present time effectively. And what you discover is this: if you're anxious about tomorrow, you will never succeed today. And what Jesus was trying to say is, you don't have to get anxious about that, because when the fig tree leaves come out, there is something there you don't want to miss. And what you discover, the first key principle that he gives us, is that we should be sensitive to the signs we see. Because there are signs that we see all over the world. I'll give you an example. In a country I can't name, in a place I've been invited to connect to, in that particular place, they are soon to have passed out 1 million Bibles in that country. Anyone who possesses this faces the opportunity of death, but they take them as quick as they are placed in their hands, because they're looking for truth. And listen carefully. Religion can't take you where Jesus can take you. And so as a result, people have been inundated with a religion in this particular country. But what they discovered is this: if they walk up to 10 people in this place, 8 of them will take the Bible like that. You want to know why? They spend their life looking for hope, looking for meaning. Of the 8 who received the Bible, 80% of them walk away from a religion into a personal relationship, knowing that they could die for their choice. Now I want to ask you a question. If I lined all of you up and I handed you a Bible and said, live or die, would you be willing to do like what they're doing? You see, they made a choice, and here's what they made a choice. It was not going to be a theory. It was going to be an answer. Which, by the way, you know what's intriguing? You know why most of them come into a relationship with Jesus? He shows up. He shows up in their life. And let me tell you what you discover. When you're serious about God, He's serious about you. He's not willing that any should perish. It doesn't matter if you live in a country that is dominated by a religion that can never get you to where Jesus wants you to be. When someone gets sensitized and begins to look at the signs, it's interesting what the individual told me that was telling me about this Bible distribution. Which, by the way, it's interesting because the benchmark of transformation occurs when the first 1,000,000 Bibles are in the hands of people. And it happens in another country, and we know that country as China. Same distribution, same process, and if you look in China today, you see an explosion of churches, underground, people coming to Christ, people being willing to make a choice. And what you discover very quickly is that in whatever country it is, that if you are looking for the signs, then you're able to respond the way God intends because you're going to be serious. You're going to be serious about what really counts. And today I want to ask you to think about your own journey of faith and ask yourself the question, how serious are you at experiencing what God intended for you? Are you serious enough to say, you know what? I will love my wife the way God intended. I'll love my husband the way God intended. Because when it all comes to that climactic moment where He's going to call us home, I want us to be at peace with who we are. I want us to be at peace with who our God is. We want to make sure we don't miss what it is He intended. Listen carefully. If more young adults would get concerned and more senior adults would get concerned about what really counts in life, God would begin to do great things here. Why is it that 80% of those who get a Bible in a country where they'll die for it are willing to hold it and cherish it while we have them and we barely pick them up? It's something really, really frightening about that. And what Jesus says here, look at it with me if you would. Look at verse 30. Notice how He says it. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it, and watch this, and know for yourselves that summer is now near. My challenge you today is simply this. Be sensitive to the signs that God has for you, because Jesus said, when those leaves begin to come out, a moment is arriving. And it may be this is the day that God has for you where your leaves are blooming and you see what it is God has for you. But then look on though. Look if you would at verse 34, because in verse 34 he ratchets up the responsibility. He says, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that they will not come on you suddenly like a trap. And it's interesting what he says here is he says, you need to take responsibility. You need to take responsibility for your life. We need to take responsibility for our lives. We need to make sure our lives count. We need to make sure we don't miss the moment that God has for us. And here's what I want you to see, and I want you to understand, whether you're in the balcony or you're downstairs, here's what I want you to see. God has moments designed just for you that are there to help you experience what He intended. And what I want you to see today is He talks about dissipation. He talks about drunkenness. What he's talking about here is the distractions that take you away from what God intends to do. Because the final one he says is the worries of life. You ever been around somebody that worries a lot? They just plain worry. And when you're around them, what do? They bring up what they worry about. They'll say to you, well, you know, it's going to be cold tomorrow, even though it's hot today. They'll say to you, you know what, it's supposed to rain next Thursday. Maybe hard to drive on 285 next Thursday. And you're sitting there going, why are you worried about Thursday way out there? It's because it becomes a way of life. And what I want you to see today is if you have spent your days and your years and your moments worrying about things that absolutely don't count, I want to invite you today to think about what does count. And that is that you take responsibility for your life. You see, it's easy to pass the buck. It's easy to say, well, you know, so-and-so can take care of that, or I know that so-and-so will be willing to help with that particular issue. And the truth of the matter is, you need to take responsibility. You need to look at your life and say, you know what? I want to take action in my life. I want to be the woman God asked me to be. I don't want to follow on the coattails of my mother and my grandmother. I want to stand strong as a woman who walks with faith. I want to be a man who, when someone looks at me, they realize I'm a man who walks with integrity and character, substance and meaning. My encouragement to you today is think about what Jesus says here. Watch for the signs. take responsibility. There's a third thing, though, that he points out to us, and it's in verse 36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And here's what I want you to see. When we look at the Bible, we realize something. We should take responsibility to take action. We should be willing to look at our lives, and we should be ready. Ready to take action, ready to do what it is that God has called us to do. Today I want to ask you, what would happen if you just looked at it and said, you know what, I'm no longer going to pass the buck. I'm no longer going to punt to somebody else. I'm no longer going to miss my moment. I'm going to become who God intended for me to be. Maybe you're sitting there saying, well, you know what, you don't realize I've lived so long, I'm not sure I could get there. It is not about you. It's about Him working through you that gets you where God intends. And so what you discover is, you have to ask yourself the question, if being on the alert is so important, is it addressed anywhere else in the Bible? And let's take just a moment to look into what it means to be alert. And I just want to call your attention to verses you'll see on the screen, but that cause you to think about what it means to be alert. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Listen to what Paul records. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. I want you to think about that verse for a second. Be on the alert. And finally he says, act like men. You know what he's really saying there? Don't miss your moment because immaturity steals your opportunity. Act like a man. Act like a woman. Be who God called you to be. Look on though. Another verse I want you to look on the screen. For Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You see a unique word there in Ephesians. He uses the word perseverance. And listen carefully. If you're on the alert, you will have to persevere. What does it mean to persevere? It means to endure for something that is greater than yourself. You persevere in order to experience what God intends. Sometimes we go through difficult times in order to experience what God intends. We persevere. And my encouragement to you today is be willing to persevere. Be willing to step into what it is God has for you. Then look at one other verse, if you would, with me. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter records this, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, I want you to think about that for a second, because what Peter records is this, if you're not on the alert, what does it imply? It implies you're not ready. It implies that you're going to get wiped out. I want you to be honest. You ever been wiped out? You ever been whacked down? Personally, there are a few occasions that I can recall so vividly where what I anticipated didn't happen. What I thought was going to occur didn't. And I can remember looking back at that and feeling so let down. But God had a better way and a better plan. And what I want you to see today is this. If you drop your alert, you're going to get wiped out. But if you stay alert, you'll be able to experience what God intends. Today, I want you to think about a simple yet profound question. And it's this. Are you ready? Because listen carefully. If you're not ready, when something comes, then it will catch you unaware, ill-prepared, and you will miss what it is God intended for you. Today I want to ask you, when you think about your own journey of faith, what would happen to you, young lady, if all of a sudden you didn't depend on somebody else's Bible verse that's posted on Facebook, but you began to read it yourself? What would happen, young man, if all of a sudden you said, I want to be a man who pursues God with all of my heart? And all of a sudden, you began to set aside some hobbies and some habits. And listen carefully. Any hobby, any habit that gets in the way of your relationship to Jesus, you need to set it aside. So if you like to be on your boat more than in your Bible, you better be careful because your boat will sink. You're saying you prophesy and doom? Oh, no, I'm encouraging you to read your Bible. Because if you don't, you'll miss the best. And I'm not talking about your physical boat. I'm talking about your spiritual life. And so today, we come to a moment where we have a chance to be able to respond. And it may be that you realize something. You have been so desensitized by life. Your kids wake you up in the middle of the night. You find yourself overwhelmed by the phone ringing all the time. You don't feel well. You find circumstances you never dreamed you'd face. And all of a sudden you come to church and a pastor said, set it all aside and become the man or woman he intends for you to be. And you simply have to ask yourself, are you ready to be that? Or are you going to spend your journey always looking at your circumstances, always looking at your situation and letting it define you? Today, I call on you to come to account. It's a red alert call. I'm pulling down the fire alarm of your spiritual journey. I'm saying to you that this is the day that the Lord has made for you. And it may be God speaking to your heart about investing yourself in who we are, committing yourself to becoming a part of this family. It may be you realize that this is a day that you got to get serious about your faith. It may be today you realize, you know what? I don't pick that book up very much, and I need to start picking it up so it'll speak to me. Whatever it is you hear, God has a plan. My prayer is you'll respond to it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that today we look at your word. It speaks to who we are. We look at your word, we recognize that in your word are the promises that change our lives forever. And Lord, when I think about how awesome you are, that you would take and remind us over and over again, be on the alert, be on the alert, be on the alert. And Lord, how could we ever go to sleep at the wheel of our lives if you tell us over and over again, be ready, be on the alert, be prepared. So Lord, on this day, it may very well be there's someone here who realizes, whether they're in the balcony or whether they're down here on the main floor, who realizes that they need to get serious about who you are. And today they take action. They'll be sensitive to what your spirit is saying to them. They'll be responsible regarding the things you call on them to do, and they'll take action. Lord, it is my prayer that you will move and your spirit will move in this moment in which we stop and praise you. So Lord, we give these moments to you. We trust you to do what only you can do. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.